This morning, in our second session, we're going to practice something again at the beginning like we did last night. You know, I think this weekend is a lot of practice. In fact, in this session, we're going to dismiss early so you can have another practice session about something. I hope you all would take serious these practice sessions because they are designed to help you later in your life. Later this year, maybe next week, or even for your future, at least here you get to do it once or twice or three times. You will learn something. You will learn that you can do this. And so we'd like you to do this. Before we start this session, let's again spend a few minutes to be alone with the Lord. Okay? Let's start with 1 minute. Very quietly to ourselves, with our eyes closed and our heads bowed, let's call on the name of the Lord to ourselves. All right, for 1 minute, we'll start now. Okay. Isn't that good? We could just call on the Lord. Let's do this now. See, a minute is a long time, isn't it? But anyway, let's do this. Let's call on the Lord out loud as you like. You can be as loud as you want or just loud enough. But let's call on the Lord for 1 minute out loud, okay? We could do it together. We could do it all different, whatever you like. But anyway, out loud, all right? So let's call on the Lord for 1 minute.
Oh.
Okay, very good. That's good, isn't it? You know, we should probably start our day just like this, calling on the name of the Lord. Let's take 1 more minute, again, to close our eyes, to have a time to pray, to confess, to love the Lord, to open our heart to Him. But let's take at least 1 more minute to pray, okay, so that we could be alone with the Lord. Especially to confess, if there's anything. All right, let's begin. Okay. Now, let's turn in our booklet to page 23. And you see at the bottom of the page there is Romans chapter 10, 14 to 15. You see, let's read these two verses, but we're going to pray read with our neighbor only up to that word. And how shall they believe into him of whom they have not heard? Let's just stop there for our prayer reading. But for our reading, let's read them both, okay? And then we'll pray read that verse for 2 minutes, all right? So let's read. How then shall they call upon him into whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe into him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without one who proclaims him? And how shall they proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the news. Amen. Okay, let's go back and with our neighbor pray read that first verse for 2 minutes. Okay, very good. 2 minutes is a real long time, isn't it? Well, you can see, you know, right now we just spent 5 minutes. 1 minute calling quietly, 1 minute calling out loud, 1 minute to pray and confess, and 2 minutes to pray read. That is 5 minutes. See how simple it is for us to touch the Lord. And this morning in our second session, in a little while, we're going to fellowship with you about the need for us to contact the Lord like this every morning, especially before we go to school. But before we do that, let's go back to our page 23 and let's finish the outline that we were on earlier. Okay? Well, we should be on page 23 because that's where we were prayer reading. And we come to a section called the importance of witnessing. The importance, this is very, you know, certainly a very important matter, not only for us to speak the Lord to other people, but for other people to hear. You know, with the point about having a good confession, one of the points on the outline that we had last night, it says that it saves us a lot of trouble if people know that we believed in the Lord. Putting that word out saves us a lot of trouble. You won't get invited to those parties. You won't be invited to do those things. And even if you've been invited once and you say no, twice, no, I can't go, why can't you go? You could say, because I'm a Christian or I love the Lord. Or you could even say, my parents won't let me. Even if your parents would let you, you could still say, I'm under some restriction. You let them know that you don't do those things because you are for the Lord. That's the point. You put it out there. It's like putting a signboard out. It's like a label that goes across your head that says, I'm for the Lord. And the sooner you put this out there, the better it is, because it will save you a lot of trouble. You should, maybe in my example a minute ago, I said, tell them your parents won't let you. You shouldn't lie to people, but you should be bold to speak that you don't do those things. You don't go to those places and that you don't want to. Even if your parents think it's okay for you to do certain things, you can still decline because you're for the Lord. This is my point, okay? So put the label out. Once the label is on you, it will save you a lot of trouble. That's the point. And not only that, it says that it will save us from a lot of temptation if we put a signboard out early. So this is our assignment to you. Some of you started school last week. Some are starting school this week. Some have been in school for a few weeks already. If you haven't done it already, you should be sure to let your friends know that you are for the Lord. And the earlier you do this, the better it is, because it'll save you a lot of trouble later on. Your friends will get the word, and it will help you to live a proper Christian life in front of them. Okay? These verses we just read is two verses full of questions. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? That means the only way to call on the Lord is to believe into the Lord. So how could they call if they don't believe? And then the next question, how can they believe if they've not heard? That means that's how people believe. They believe because somebody told them. And then the next question Isn't this great, all these questions? How shall they hear unless without one who proclaims him? And then how shall they proclaim him unless they are sent? Okay, this morning, I would like to tell you, you are being sent.
Amen.
That's what a gospel seed is. You're being sent by the sower into all of your schools, all over Southern California and Arizona. We have some from Phoenix here. They're sent. You're sent to your school. You're not just going to your school, you're sent to your school. And so they are sent. Then it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the news of good things. Do you know in the Bible, it always talks about our feet when it talks about the gospel. Even when we put on the whole armor of God, it's having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. That means the gospel has very much to do with our feet. Do you like to have beautiful feet? Like to have beautiful feet? Then we have to be somebody who speaks the gospel. And you know what it means to have shoes on your feet? You know, to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel? It becomes a way to separate you from the world. And it separates you from the influence of the world. When we become aggressive to share with our friends that we love the Lord, then that protects us from the worldly influence. What saves us from drifting along in the current of this age, and rather swimming against the current, as Brother Ray said last night, it's by having these kind of shoes on our feet, which are preaching, are witnessing the gospel to people. Okay? So look at points A and B. The two happiest days in every believer's life are the day he believes in the Lord and the day when, for the first time, he leads another person to Christ. This is really true. The two happiest days. The first happiest day is when you believe in the Lord and you received him. Do you remember that day? Do you remember what day that was? Where you were when you prayed to receive the Lord? And how happy you were, how released you were, how free you were. Well, the second happiest day is when you lead somebody else to Christ and you get to share in their joy. You know, earlier this morning we had about go to your family and preach the gospel to your family. You know, what I did is this. I went to a conference similar to the sixth grade mountain trip. When I was young, I was not in the church life, but I went away into the mountains. I was gone for a week. It was a week camp, and I heard the gospel every night over and over and over again, and I really turned my heart to the Lord, and I really believed in the Lord and received the Lord. And then when I came home from camp, I must have been only like 8, 10 at the oldest, maybe 9, somewhere in there. I came home. And I got my little sister. My little sister, some of you know my little sister. And I took her into the den of our house. And I told her, you need to be saved. Just like that guy. I had no idea what to, I said, you need to be saved. So she's like 6. And so I led her to pray, and she prayed. And, you know, I forgot all about this. I thought, you know, I'm just a kid. She's just a kid. It didn't count. You know, it didn't matter. Well, you know, we're both in our 50s now. And not that long ago, somebody, I was in her presence. I was with her. And somebody asked her how she got saved. And she told me, it was my older brother came home from camp and shared with me about the Lord. And I prayed to receive the Lord. I didn't realize that I had done that. I mean, I had completely forgotten, but realized that that's really the right way. You come right back, come right home, and you open it up. I think after this weekend, a lot of us will be much more confident to say something to our friends or our relatives about our faith in the Lord. So how will they hear unless we're sent. How about let's all be sent? We're sent by the Lord to share, and we could have this kind of a happy day. We could preach our gospel similar to my son-in-law. It may not be that good, but anyway, they will call on the name of the Lord because they believed, and they will receive the Lord too. Okay? Because the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right, let's read point B together. From the very beginning
of our Christian life, we should learn to win souls by various means. We should learn to be wise.
Look at this verse, Proverbs 11:30. How about we have all the brothers read Proverbs 11:30? The fruit of the righteous man
is the tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls.
He who is wise wins souls. Isn't that a good verse? Let's pray read that verse right now, just that phrase, for like 20 seconds with our neighbor. He who is wise wins souls. He who is wise wins souls. Okay, very good. Are you wise? We're wise. We can win souls. All right? Okay, let's go on. Point C says, no tree will sprout without further growth. Likewise, no one can have God's life without begetting more life. We just have a reproducing life in us. It needs to find others. Many people have not heard the gospel because you have not yet testified to them. The consequence of this is eternal separation. Actually, this is quite serious. There was a story of a man who had a visitor came and stayed with him, and they spent the whole evening together. This man was a real believer in the Lord, and the friend that he had come was a friend of his that did not know the Lord. But they were both very educated, and throughout the course of the evening, they talked a lot about their science or their politics or their world, their jobs, all these kinds of secular things, not sinful things or terrible things, just not about the Lord. Then it was late. He invited the man to spend the night with them. He did. They took him to his room. He went to bed, and the brother went to bed. In the night, he heard something in the room. He went into the room, and this guest of theirs had like a heart attack and had died. And then it hit him. I should have spent this time talking to him about the Lord. And I had just spent hours with this man talking about politics, about business, and I missed my chance. And he was full of regret because he had missed such an opportunity. And so, you know, while we are not dealing with these kinds of serious things, but sometimes we are. Sometimes we are. Where we may be the last chance for these people to know the Lord. This is true. This is a true story. My wife and I and another sister were knocking on doors. This is in 87. In Tulare, where we were, we went out knocking on doors to speak to people about the Lord. And we came to this one house, and it was just another house on another block in one of the not such good sections of town. And the people rejected us, and we went on to the next house, and they rejected us. And we had a lot of rejections. And the funny thing was this, not funny, strange thing. The next week, it was about a week later, less than a week, in the newspaper, we found out that there had been a shooting and somebody had died in the shooting. And we saw the address, and it was the address where we had been knocking on doors just the week before. We realized, at that point, it hit us. We were their last hope. And we were not able to get in the door to share with them about Christ. But this is very real. And so we should remember, or at least have some feeling about this. I don't want to be morbid or scary. I do know that we we have situations like this because our friends do sometimes pass away. And we have to tell them. We have to warn them. All right, let's go on to the next session, message 6. And we'll go through this a little quicker. And we do have a practice session that we want to have. Okay? This is called the daily living of a gospel seed. I think what we have to be impressed with, young people, is this, is that we are not trying to stir you up to do something for the Lord. We are really trying to help you to have a certain kind of living. And this living is normal, and in many ways, it's very ordinary. It's not outstanding or spectacular. It's just ordinary. You will have thousands of school days ahead of you to go through junior high, to go through high school, to go through college. You're going to be in classrooms again and again and again, and you're going to be surrounded with all kinds of people. And every time you get into a new classroom and you have new students sitting around you, you're going to have to pray and say, Lord, are some of these ones that I should pray for? Are these ones that I should have a burden for? And we should have this kind of a heart. And so we're not here to try to stir you up to do something special for a week or a two or a month, but rather to give you a kind of education and perfecting that will last you through your school years. Because we'd like to see you as a gospel seed this year and next year and the year after that and all the way through, even through your college years. So this is a foundation for you. And part of this foundation is to help you contact the Lord. This is why yesterday we had those practice sessions and those exercises for us to pray, for us to confess, for us to call on the name of the Lord quietly, to call loudly, because I know for the next 10 years, you're going to have to do this. It's going to be on you. You have to. It's going to be your fears, your anxieties, your life, your troubles that you're going to have to find relief in the Lord. Because we can't do it for you. We can't always be there to call on the Lord for you, but you can learn these things and they can be really your experience. This is really our desire and our hope. So we are very burdened for you to see that a gospel seed has a kind of living. It's not just an activity. It's not a work. It's a living. Okay? So one says, let's read one together, all right? Roman 1. Contacting the Lord
every morning through calling, prayer, reading, confession, and prayer.
Okay, you see those five things or four things? Calling, pray, reading, two, confession, and prayer, four things. These are the things that we practiced just a few minutes ago. And what I intend to do and what I wanted to do yesterday and today, and we'll do this again tonight and probably tomorrow morning, is to impress you how easy it is for us to have a little time with the Lord. Even 5 minutes, we could do so much. 1 minute calling on the name of the Lord does a lot. If all you have is 1 minute, you should do that. You can call on the name of the Lord. That would be tremendous. Everyone has a minute, right? Sam, you have a minute? Can you spare a minute? Well, you say, wait a minute. Or sometimes people say, well, 2 minutes, 2 minutes. You know, that's sometimes the saying, 2 minutes. See, 2 minutes is nothing. We can blow 2 minutes just like that. But to have 2 minutes to pray and confess or 2 minutes to pray, read, we could give the Lord 5 minutes at the beginning of our day. That would be tremendous. And for us to be a gospel seed, we need to have a little time with the Lord in the morning. Really hope we could practice this. So let's do this. Let's read these verses. How about we have this section here? Read Romans 10, 12.
Where is the distinction between
The Lord is rich to all who call upon him. And you may say, well, I call on him and it doesn't seem like he's so rich. So is it true or not? The answer is, if the Bible says that he's rich to those who call, then it's the truth. He's rich to all those who call. It doesn't mean we have to feel that. It just means he is. This is the fact. How about we have this section? Read 1 John 1, 9. If we
confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen. So if we confess, we mentioned the other day, after our salvation, we have mistakes, failures, attitudes, problems. We should confess them. Whatever we're conscious of, we should confess. We don't need to confess things that we've confessed already to repeat that, but we should confess the things that we are conscious of right now. And we should do this. Every day we should do this. It'd be good to do this first thing in the morning before we go to school so there's nothing between us and the Lord. It's very good to do this at night before we go to bed so that we can sleep in a very peaceful way. Okay, you know how to confess, right? All right, let's go on to the next verse. How about this section of brothers over here? Read John 6, 57.
As the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who needs me, he also shall live because of me.
So this is to pray, read the Word of God. This is to eat the Lord. To eat. Remember the verse we had yesterday? Your words were found, and I ate them. And they became to me the joy and the gladness of my heart. Something like that. So we can eat the Lord's word. In fact, this verse implies that this is what the Lord Jesus did when he was a man. He was pray-reading the word of God all the time. So we can do that. 2 minutes. We can pray-read the word. All right, let's have this section of brothers read Psalm 119, 11. In my heart, I have treasured
you.
See, the thing that really saves us from being sinful is to touch the Lord's word, to read the word. Okay? So let's read through these 5 points, A, B, C, D, E. And again, we'll go around in a circle. Let's have this section over here read point A. Get up. Amen. Can you give the Lord 10 minutes? Can junior hires give 10 minutes? How about you just get up 10 minutes earlier? What time do you normally get up in the morning? What time do you get up? 6:15. Oh, that's early. That's almost like the full-time training early. What time do you get up? Oh, you sleep for 5 more minutes than she does, huh? Wow. How about you? What time do you get up? 7:15. Yes, another hour. How about you? You don't know? It depends. It's a long summer. You forgot, huh? How about some high schoolers? What time do you get up, Lisa? 6? What time does school start? Okay. So you can get up at 5 now? 6. Okay, how about you, Alyssa? 7, uh-huh. Wow. Okay, how about here in the second row? What time do you get up? 6 o'clock. You guys get up early. How do you do that? You come to the conference and you get to sleep in. We're feeling so bad that you have to get up so early, and we should get you up at 6, huh? Okay, no anarchy allowed. All right. Do you ever go to bed at 10 o'clock at night at home? Very good. Okay, let's don't talk. What time do you get up? 6:15. 6:30. Is this all like wishful thinking or is actual? Okay, what time? See, these guys are all early risers. Very good. Okay, I'm very happy to hear this. Peter, what time do you get up? 6:15? How about you, Isaac? 6:30? 6:45? Do you wake up yourself or do your parents wake you up? little of both. How about you, Juan? 6:30? 6:30? 6? Okay, David, what time did you get up? 6 o'clock? 7. Uh-huh. And Thomas, right? 6:30. I know his name. You know how I know his name? Same as mine. So all these 6:30s. Okay, very good. So 10 minutes earlier might be a little bit of a price, huh? All right, let's go on. So let's have this section read the next thing. This is what, now we've got 10 minutes in the bank, okay? Now how are we going to spend these 10 minutes? Go ahead. Take
2 minutes.
Call on the name of the Lord. Maybe 1 minute quietly, 1 minute loud. Or at least out loud, not like shake the windows loud, wake up the whole neighborhood loud, but loud enough so that it's out loud. All right? Okay, let's now let's take another, that's 2 minutes. Let's have the brothers over here, point C. Take
1 minute.
Is that something you could do? Thomas, do you think you could take a minute? You know, maybe we don't need to watch our clock and time it, but at least a certain amount of time. We could do that. We could call on the Lord, then we could have some confession. And then point D over here. How about we have these brothers read this? Take
2 minutes to pray, read a verse or two from the Bible. Use a bookmark to keep your place so you can quickly find the verse.
See, it's always good to have a bookmark in your Bible. See, I got two bookmarks. So I know where I am. So you don't have to look up. You don't have to find a verse. You just plop it open right where the bookmark is, and you just go on to the next verse or the next two verses, and you take 2 minutes? To pray, read a verse or two from the Bible. Now, we taught you yesterday, when you pray, read by yourself, you have to invent your own way. There's not a set way to do this. You just take the words of the Bible and make it into your own personal prayer. You notice that the things we're speaking this morning is very similar to what we spoke yesterday. It's just now we're putting it all together. All right, let's take point E all together.
Take 5 minutes to read another chapter in the Word of God.
Now, many of us are practicing to get into the Holy Word for Morning Revival in the churches, okay? Even the young people were encouraging them to get their own Holy Word for Morning Revival. And if you do this, you have a few verses at the top that you could pray over. You may think this is too hard. It's not too hard. You're reading more difficult things in school than what are written here. These things are easy compared to what you're studying in school. All you have to do is take those verses. The day is already laid out. It's very simple for you. Some of you have some other morning revival materials. You can use that. But take these verses. Take a couple minutes to pray, read them. Take a few minutes to read through this. Mark it up. Whatever touches you, mark it up, because tomorrow you'll forget. And it's good to come back and remind yourself what impressed you. Then it's always good to read the Bible. You know what? If you read a chapter in the New Testament every day, you could read the whole New Testament during your school year. A Monday through Friday. Do you know, little math lesson here, there's 260 chapters in the New Testament. Okay? There's 365 days in a year. Right? There's 52 weeks. If you have Saturday and Lord's Day, you don't read, you could subtract 104, is that right? 104, and you've got 261 Monday through Fridays in a year. Isn't that good? So in a whole year, you could read the New Testament one chapter at a time. Now, if you want to read it, if you read 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, you could probably finish, if you do 7 days, you could finish from September to June, you could finish the whole New Testament. But anyway, just to show you how simple it is, even I had the thought that this morning, What I'd have you do is get out a chapter, and we could read a chapter quietly to ourselves while we're sitting here, and we could time it. It probably does not take much more than 5 minutes to read through a chapter. There's some long, really long chapters, and that'll take you a little longer. But if you build up this habit, it's very simple and very achievable. My, this is hard to erase. Okay? So the exercise, or the point in saying this to you, is to show you that it's very simple. You could read through the New Testament. I just imagine if we had a whole group of junior hires, they read through the New Testament their 7th grade year, their 8th grade year, 9th grade, 10, 11. By the time you finished high school, you could be through it 6 times. And it's wonderful. Wonderful. Some of these high schoolers are seniors now, and they're kicking themselves wondering, man, if I had only done that. Do you know how many times you got to read this to start to really, really get into it and understand it? You got to lay a layer after layer after layer of foundation. And then this book begins to talk to you, and it'll speak to you in the strangest ways, because it gets into your heart, and you're right in the middle of something and a verse will come up, or you'll be in a conversation and a verse will come up, and it's because you've read it and you read it and you read it. I really hope, you know, we exhort and encourage the young people to do this. I hope that you would practice this. Get a little New Testament, maybe that little red one. We want to have that for our exercise. Put a little bookmarker in it. Start somewhere. If you started in Matthew before, keep your book. Here, you got one? This is what you got to do. Let me tell you what to do. This will help you, because many of you have read Matthew already a few times. You started, especially those of you that are in high school. Here's Brother Ray's bookmarker. It looks good. Sorry. And so what you do is you start with Matthew 1, okay? And then maybe you get to the end of Matthew, and you don't read for a few days. And you think, oh, then the brothers come, you need to read your Bible. Don't go back and read Matthew again. You got a bookmarker right there, don't you? Just go to where the bookmarker is and start reading from there. And then read along again. And then maybe you get distracted again, and you're out of it for a month, or you forget to read. And then you think, oh, you know, it's not going to count unless I go back and start over again. That's dumb. Don't think like that. Just open it up. Wow, look at that. There's a bookmark in here. And then you just start there. Eventually, you get through it. And when you get through it, this is what you do. You write the date back here when you finished. All right? And then the next day, you write the date in the front when you start. And then after a while, you're going to have a bunch of dates here and a bunch of dates here. And I could show you in mine. This is what I do. I mark it at the end when I finish. I mark it at the beginning when I start. And then I can track how many times I've been through. Sometimes I read just the footnotes. I read the text and the footnotes. Sometimes I just read the Bible only. This way is very simple to read just the Bible. But I wish you all, you don't need to read the footnotes when you're in junior high. You don't need to read the footnotes unless you're curious. Of course, you're more than welcome to. I would encourage you just to read through the Bible again and again and again. Okay? I hope that's helpful, encouraging. All right, now, the next thing, well, before we go on to the next thing, let's turn to page 30. Okay, are you on page 30? It's called A Practice Session, The Daily Living of a Gospel Seed. It says to gather in your groups, number one, for a group project to lay out a daily schedule. Now, we're not going to do that, except we're going to do that right now, right where you're sitting. Begin by indicating when you have to leave the house to go to school, and then mark the time you arrive home after school. Okay, so on your sheet, should we do it here or in the notebooks? Yeah, maybe for the sake of, okay. So in your book, right at the bottom here, you have some space. Put the first thing down is what time you have to leave the house to go to school. If it's 7 one day, 8 one day, then you have to do twice. You have to do two of them, two plans. Okay, this is like a plan. So for me, what's the majority? 8 o'clock, 7:30, 7? 7:10? What time? Okay. So let's say it's 7:25, okay? What's that? So you begin by indicating when you have to leave the house to go to school, and then mark the time you arrive home after school. Do this for Monday through Friday. If it's different, if it's the same, okay, let's say you leave at 7:25, you get home at 3 o'clock. Is that right or not? Okay, so put that down. Also, put in any after-school activities you know that you'll be involved with. So that needs to be factored in. So if you have band practice or you have football practice or something, and so you don't get home till 5, then just put 5 o'clock. What? Okay, the next thing, point C, is put in the time when you will need to go to bed. If one is not set, then decide what time would be best. Okay, some of you have a bedtime. Some of you have a lights out. Like here at the camp, we have a lights out. How many of you have a lights out time that your parents have imposed upon you or enforced? Put your hands up high. You have a lights out. And the rest of you get to decide when you go to bed. Is that the idea? Okay, don't talk, please. Please don't talk, okay? So, we still need to get up in the morning, don't we? So let's decide on a time. 9:30. Okay, don't talk. Well, for the sake of our fellowship this morning, let's use 10 o'clock because that's our camp lights out time. Okay? And so everything, see, like last night we said 10:15, that became an exception. And this is nothing more than just a strategy or a kind of a plan. All right? There'll be exceptions. All right? Is that... You're a mom, right? What do you think? 10 o'clock? Or you think later? Earlier. Come on, mom. You think 10's okay? See, I'm not a mom. It's been a long time since I've been a mom. Okay. 10 o'clock it is. So what time do you get up? Most of you are saying something like 6 o'clock. Sam, what time do you get up? Come on, this is not a hard question. Huh? Whenever his dream ends. Oh. Okay, let's stay. We got to try and keep this serious here. All right. Should we say what, 6:15, 6:30? Okay, 6:30. And maybe this is a typical school day. I think probably a lot of you fall into this range here, right? 6:30 in the morning till about 10 o'clock at night. Am I right? See, the problem is this, and this is what I would like to point out. If this is open-ended, and you just go to bed when you get too tired to stay awake, I know that you're not going to be able to have a thought or a heart to contact the Lord in the morning. You're going to sleep until the last second when you have to rush out the door with a piece of toast in your mouth and you're still putting your shirt on. Your shoes are untied and your undershirt is on the outside of your shirt. You're in backwards. Okay? So, for us to have a kind of a normal daily living, healthy life, we have to have an alarm clock. We have to be able to get up maybe 10 minutes earlier so that we can contact the Lord. Or we could spare a few minutes in the morning. Now, how many here, junior hires, not the high schoolers, we'll ask the high schoolers in a minute, how many junior hires have a time with the Lord every morning by themselves? Without their parents. How many have a time with the Lord with, keep your hand up now, with also those with others at least once a week? How many have a time with the Lord? Okay, everybody put your hands out. Somebody calls you up on the phone. How many of you, okay, put your hands down. How many of you call somebody else up on the phone to have morning revival? Back and forth. Yeah, good. Okay, good. So this is a great step in the living of a gospel seed. Is that okay? Okay, point D. I think it's this section over here. Point D, read point D. As you begin, I'm saying this and we're putting this here so that you can think about this ahead of time to make a plan to contact the Lord. Let's read point E all together. Go through this little... Okay, I hope this little exercise achieved that. Okay, let's turn back to our page 27, and let's continue. Now we need the booklets. Where did the booklets go? We need the booklets. We have a little notebook that we want to give to all the junior hires. So the brothers are going to pass them out quickly. How about go to this side? Hold your hand up if you're a junior hire, and you'll get a booklet. How about get some help, Sam? Not this Sam. He's also Sam. Okay, when you get your booklet, write your name in it. On the inside cover, write your name and your locality. This is like the first day of school, isn't it? Okay. Let's stop talking. Everybody should... Does everybody have one? If we have some leftovers, then we give them to the high schoolers. What's that? Just a handful? Okay, give them to a handful of high schoolers. Okay, Sam, there's some over here. You guys get one? Want one? Okay. Okay, listen. What you need to do is write on the front is, this is, maybe just put on the front, gospel seed. This tells you that this is your gospel seed book. Okay? So you don't use it for other things. It's gospel seed. And then on the inside cover, put down your name and your locality and your phone number. Because probably some of you will lose it, and we'd like to be able to get it back to you. Because what you put in here is going to be very private and personal. Okay? This is now your gospel notebook. This is your record. This is like a little diary, and it's a personal record. Okay? Now we come to Roman number 2. Before you write anything more in your book, don't write anything more than gospel seed on the front and your name, your locality, and your phone number in the inside cover. Then close it, all right? Now, let's come back to our outline, Roman numeral number 2. Let's read that together. Prepare a list of names of your friends. Okay, what we're going to do in the next exercise, and we're going to go out to do this, is we're going to make a list of names of people. But listen first to get the complete instruction, all right? Let's read Acts 10:24 together. And on the next day, when Cornelius got saved, he had done this. He called for Peter. The angel told him to call for Peter to come to his house. And when Peter arrived, he had gathered together all of his relatives and his intimate friends. And that's who he had over at his house so that Peter could speak to them. You know, the verse we had this morning was this, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, or Samaria, Judea, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. There are four layers there. There's Jerusalem, which is the city where you are. And then there was Samaria, which was a nearby area. You could say that was maybe like the county. And then there was Judea, which is a bigger area, and then ultimately the whole earth. And so when the Lord sends us as a sent one, which we saw we're a sent one, he sends us first to our Jerusalem. Now, our Jerusalem is different. It's not the physical Jerusalem. Your Jerusalem is your family, or it's your school, or it's your group of friends. That becomes your Jerusalem, and that is who the Lord is sending you to. And that's where you need to be a witness first. You have to identify your Jerusalem. Some of you are burdened for your parents. Maybe one of your parents does not know the Lord. Or maybe your grandparents do not know the Lord. Or you have a cousin or a relative who do not know the Lord. This becomes your Jerusalem. Then in addition to relatives, there may be some neighbors, some friends in your neighborhood that don't know the Lord, or friends at school. So we have all these different types of people. They would all fall into this category of our relatives and our intimate friends. This becomes our Jerusalem. Okay? Does that make sense? That's good, isn't it? Your Jerusalem is different than my Jerusalem, huh? But you have to be a witness in your Jerusalem. I'll be a witness in mine. And eventually, we will pass on what we know, what we have of the Lord to those around us. Okay, A says this. Again, don't do this yet because we'll have an exercise. Use a notebook so you can enter these names and the date you begin praying for them. B, throughout the day, as often as you think of it, mention their names to the Lord. Oh, Lord, Johnny, Lord, save Johnny. That's in an illustration. How about we have this section right here, read Romans 1:9. And then this section over here, read Ephesians 1:16. Okay, ready, go. 1:9.
God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit, in the gospel of the Son, how unceasingly I make mention of always in my prayers.
Okay, do you see this word that Paul said? He said, I make mention of you in my prayers. That means when he prayed for them, he would just mention them. It's not like he had a long prayer for them. He would just say their names. Lord Jesus Ray. Oh, Lord Ray. Save Ray. It was a simple thing. It's not a hard prayer. And when the thought came up, the concern rose up, then the prayer came out. This is what it means to, once you write their names down in here, the Spirit is going to lead you to pray for them that way. How about the brothers read Ephesians 1:16?
Do not cease giving thanks for the Jews, making mention of you in my prayers.
Do you see that? Again, this word mention. He mentioned the names. He's mentioning persons to make mention. Very good. Okay, Romans 3. Let's read this together. Come together with one. Matthew 18, 19, and 20. Let's have this section over here. Read Matthew 18 strongly, okay? Because, again, truly,
I say to you, that if two of you are in harmony on earth concerning any matter for which they ask, it will be done for them for my Father who is in heaven. For where there are two or three gathered into my name, there am I in their midst.
Okay? Here it says, if two of you are in harmony concerning any matter, it will be done for them. So this is part of our exercise, is that we want to each have some names, and then we're going to come together in our groups of twos or threes to pray over our list of names. Okay? John, let's have this section read John 15:7. Okay? If you
abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you.
Look at that. What a promise. Ask whatever you will, it will be done for you. And then let's all read together John 15:16.
You did not
choose me, but I chose you. And I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Again, ask whatever you ask the Father, he will give you. Now look at these last two points. Pray to the Lord to consider who could be your praying companion. Then find a way to get together on the phone or in person, to pray together for the names on your lists. Your praying companion does not have to be your age. Actually, it probably would be better if it was somebody a little older. Consider a high schooler or a college student in your locality, or even your mom or some older saints. See, your praying companion does not have to be your age. It could be all, you know, in the church, we're a big family of all different ages. Now, this is what our brother Lee told us. And then we're going to go out and practice this, okay? He said the first thing you do is you make a list of all your acquaintances. That could be a long list. It could be 20, 30 names. Okay, we don't need to do all that. And then he said, out of these names, pick out three to five that you would be especially burdened for. So this is what we would like you to do in your assignment. Let's go to the practice session again, page 30. Okay, we're going to have about 20 minutes for this. So listen carefully, all right? Roman 2, gather for 5 minutes in your groups to pray for your friends in a general way and for the new school year. We'd like you to do is gather in groups of about four, three young people and a serving one, and just pray. Everyone go around and pray for the new school year, pray for your friends in a general way. Then separate, either just turn around. You don't have to go far away. I just mean you're not doing a group activity now. Now individually and without discussing the matter, quietly consider before the Lord if there are some names of your friends, relatives, or neighbors that the Lord would put on your heart. In your notebook, write these names down, praying for them as you write them in your book. Because when you write them in your book, this is something that you are doing between you and the Lord. You are putting their name in your book. That is like you are telling the Lord, save this one. Save this one now. Okay? It's like a contract. All right? Then the last thing, now you come back together. Your little group of four come back together for 10 minutes and pray over each name one by one. So then you will say, here is Johnny. He's a friend from school. He needs the Lord. Can we pray for Johnny? And then Ray says, I have a friend. His name is Billy. This is his situation. James says, I have a name. So we pray for these names. Then I go back and I have a second name. I share my second name. And he shares a second name, we pray. And then we do the third name. Any variation of that will work. What we'd like you to do is share these names with each other and pray for them with each other. Okay? Can we do this? All right. So our meeting will dismiss at this point. But listen very carefully because we have some instructions. Like yesterday, we're going to go out. If as much as possible, you should sit at the tables or find a place. You could find a place inside the hall here or outside on the tables. The sisters have a little bit of an advantage because they have so many tables here and the brothers don't. But anyway, the brothers can find other places. They could sit in the ground. Out there on the log. And do this exercise. Please, don't talk. Turn around. Face the front. All the brothers. Okay. Again, the brothers will, not yet, they'll go out this door. The sisters will go out this door. And then after the brothers blow the horn, we'll line up for lunch. All right. This will be about 20 minutes in your groups. Please carry this out. Keep your page open to page 30, and you can do this. Yes.